In the name of God, the one who comes among us in glory, make us in your likeness. It's the perfect hinge from Christmas Epiphany leading to Lent and Easter Transfiguration. I stole some time away from school Friday last. I made up a little story. Actually, I was dropping Sam off in Sydney and got permission to stay overnight so that I could have a slow trip back to Canberra via Campbelltown Art Centre, which I thoroughly recommend. Ben Quilty has put up there the works of Mayuran Sukumaran, one of the Bali Nine. You might be familiar with some of his artwork. I'd love to show you an image right now. I was not prepared for how confronting it was going to be, or was. Equal parts, extraordinary beauty and raw horror, as a man who knew his day of death painted his way to that day. One of his very last paintings was for Joko Widodo. And on the back of it, there are 9 signatures and a little phrase, "People change." And maybe that's the theme for today. People change. Walt was out and out racist, totally racist. He returned from the Korean War, being trained to kill people, and he'd done that and was efficient at it. He was profoundly confronted when the neighborhood, which was the mark of Midtown America, began to transform before his very eyes. Detroit began to deteriorate. And out went all the middle-class white Americans, and in came migrants, refugees, Hmong especially. His neighbor was a foreigner. He took no time to disguise his contempt for them. So why then, at the end of the movie, Gran Torino, does he give his life for these very people? The movie, I think, is extraordinary. Walt changes. Walt is transformed. It's thick with Catholic imagery and language. And on the pavement, before the Hmong gang leaders, Walt stands and provokes them into a foolish outcome that leads to their capture. He provokes them by mocking them, really, and thinking he's pulling out a gun, he's actually pulling out a lighter. And he says this beforehand, "Does anyone have a light? I have light." He utters a prayer and very quickly pulls his hand out and they shoot him. That act concludes with a very clear director's cut, with the camera lifting up and there's Walt in a crucifix form on the pavement. And that act then secures, unties the bonds of his neighbor. Walt received hospitality and welcome from his alien neighbor in a way that he had never known from his own family. And it changed him. So here we sit before the Transfiguration, this extraordinary event. I humbly propose that it's not actually the Transfiguration of Christ, or a clearer revelation of the character of Christ, but the transfiguration of human beings. Look at this light and be transfigured. Remember this and you be remembered. We see here a unification of law, prophets, into the completion of who Christ is. When Jesus comes down from that mountain, the next little bit's actually really, really important. He begins to say, the Son of Man must be betrayed and handed over. The character of this Christ is revealed. So look at this light, look into this face and be transfigured. Remember and be remembered. A little bit of background. The story itself unravels. The meaning of what took place took time to dawn. So it's not until after death and after resurrection that this starts to make sense. And that shouldn't surprise us. Understanding consciousness dawns across time. And theological development proceeds over time. And it's not just this event, death, resurrection, but hundreds and hundreds of years. And across that time, this thing is taking place also. The distinction between in and out, between them and us, is increasingly subverted in the story of God until it is totally destroyed in the person of Jesus. It no longer exists, the clear distinction between in and out, them and us. In Christ, all are made one. So the line between goody and baddie doesn't exist so clearly anymore. Nor slave free, male, female. So then let's come back then to the story. Beside Jesus is Elijah. Here's, see this growth, this dawning. Elijah is a mass murderer. He killed 450 prophets. It comes immediately after that extraordinary event where there's a contest between his God and their God, the gods of Baal and Elijah's God. And you know the story. Big fire, you send down your fire, I'll watch. Is your God on a toilet? Guffaw, guffaw. Here, chuck water on mine, do whatever you like. Lightning appears. What happens immediately after is shocking, isn't it? Now we've got the sacred right to kill your prophets because your God isn't as big as my God. What happens to Elijah immediately afterwards is absolutely crucial. He falls into a fit of depression. I wish I was dead. And on the strength of a meal, he journeys 40 days and comes to a new mountain. And where does God reveal himself to Elijah? Not in those acts of fire and shaking and thunderstorm, tempest. This doesn't make sense. In the sound of sheer silence, Elijah has no power over the real God. Sarah Batchelard's phrase is exquisite. God is more like nothing at all than one of the gods. Elijah, in his act, has been like a child of one of the gods. And here is a dawning of understanding. God is not like these gods. To make that a little clearer, revisit any one of our Epiphany readings of the last weeks. They've been extraordinary. Here's one. The prophet Micah, another beautiful, extraordinary story. When God asks the people, remember your story. What have I not done for you? Can you remember? What have I not done for you? And then this is what's triggered then in the people of God. In the remembering, oh my gosh, what does God want? Yes, of course. A year old calf? No, 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 no. Thousands of rams? No, 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 no. Thousands, tens of thousands of rivers of oil? No. Can you hear the hyperbole? Where does it end? The offering of human sacrifice. The blood of my own child. Where does that come from? Not from yours and our God. That comes from what human beings do, which is project onto God what is our own construction, our own fear. What does God say? I don't want any of that. Act justly, love tenderly, walk humbly with me. God is more like nothing than one of those gods that conjures up this outrageous concept that human sacrifice would in any way be acceptable. So, and that's the clue about remembering, by the way. Remembering is not something we do with our own strength of will. It's what happens to us when we call to mind that story. We're remembered, as in not dismembered, remembered, put back whole. The remembering of that story of the prophet Micah is the healing of people. Don't panic about what sacrifice will be big enough. There isn't. It's given. Be at peace with your God and walk at peace among others. So, look at this image of Christ and we be transfigured into Christ's likeness. There is no room nor need for violence. Be transfigured into Christ's likeness. And walk in peace with God. Do justice. Love tenderly. Let that be the mark of Christianity. Let that be our mark in public life. You are aware, we're in a post-truth world. It doesn't exist. If you're not happy with the facts, make up your own. It is genuinely terrifying. But young people live in it anyway. They have for some time. It's called social media. Young man gives birth to a child, doctor attests. What? Yeah, no, I saw it on Instagram. They're filled with information that is difficult to ground and root anywhere. So it's not a surprise that you can make up whatever you want. How do you cut through this? And what's God really like? Look into this image of the transfigured Christ and become this Christ. Be transfigured. Remember and you be remembered. I'm just going to finish then with what this looks like. What this actually might be in practice. And I'm just going to revisit one fragment from last week's reading. Is it possible for us to be transfigured into the image of Christ? That's a continuous thing, not like a done, you're over. It's a continuous thing. Is it possible to care enough about the community to act with courage for justice, for the common good, to expose and condemn sinister inclination, violence, injustice, without judging? That's what Jesus is asking us to be. You heard last week, you heard that it was said, render to an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, don't. Be transfigured into this likeness. Turn the other cheek. I did this in chapel this week. It was a bit dangerous, but I asked the person sitting at the front to slap me. And by crikey, the guy in year 11 smacked me. I can still feel it, actually. But you would be aware, there used to be meaning to right-handedness and left-handedness. It used to import huge understandings about the nature of reality. My mother was forced as a left-handed writer to become a right-handed writer. So right hand is all about authority, blessing, and regal sovereignty. The left hand is its opposite, is its flip. So if you wanted to insult somebody, you call them left-handed. In French, that's gauche, which is a soft insult. In Latin, it's extraordinarily clear, isn't it? It's... So the use of that hand is actually to expose your character, your heart. So when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, he's inviting to be struck again with the opposite hand. And the work of that is to expose then your handedness, as in, what is your inclination? Do you have authority to do this, or are you to be found with a sinister heart? So the turning the other cheek takes courage, but you have to love people enough. You have to not see an enemy anymore. You have to say, I'm not sure you have authority to do that. Let's test. And if it were to be struck with the left hand, everybody then becomes witness to what really is taking place. An example for this is Walt in Gran Torino. He stands on the pavement. And he calls them out. And he says, who does these horrible things to your own neighbors? Truly. And of course he's provoking them. But he has no guns. And in his dying, he had cancer, by the way. He was going to die anyway. It was his last gift. In his dying, these people are exposed for what they are. And now there's hundreds of witnesses. We are called to be a community that loves this world enough to not turn a blind eye, but to turn the other cheek and to image in ourselves this extraordinary love God has for this world, that we would be marked by that. So look at this Christ and be transfigured. Don't be afraid. Remember and be remembered. The most clear picture we have of that week after week after week after week is at Holy Communion. So in our remembering, it's God's business to remember you, that you then would be a gift to this world, full of God's Spirit, full of courage, that in you is what is necessary to challenge and to heal and to bring a greater peace, literally, in our neighborhood. God, send your transfigured Spirit into our midst and carry us through this meal into the world at large. Amen.